You're about to hear a message from the team at C3 Church Bethel. We pray that this message will inspire you to live your best life and bring life to the people around you.
Sometimes we can feel like it's or like there's some kind of difficult process we need to go through to get God to show up in our world, but generally God will just show up because he's already there, right? We know he's there. The Bible tells us he's there, but it's frustrating sometimes when you can't feel him. But if we would just quieten ourselves, close our eyes, quieten our heart, fix our eyes and thoughts upon him, as soon as you start to think about him, he starts to get excited. He goes, oh, hang on a minute. They were thinking about a whole lot of stuff before, but right now they're focused. I can do something with this atmosphere. I can do something with this moment in your life. And we got to understand that God moves in moments. He moves profoundly in big things, but he also moves very profoundly, if not more profoundly, in a moment of time when you just stop. We just stop and allow him to do something. Like, I was saved in a moment. It wasn't a big kerfuffle. It was a moment in time where God apprehended my heart. And I said, yes. And most of us would say that's the same experience. I was healed in a moment. I found freedom in my life in a moment in time. It wasn't this long drawn. It was like all of a sudden God showed up, and then that started a journey of transformation. But I can remember the moment. And it's those moments that we need to recall in our life when we're going through other times that we can remember. Not just remember, hey, God set me free, but remember the feeling. What did God feel like in that moment? What was he saying to me in that moment? What was taking place? And it's out of that's where you can draw confidence that God can do all things, that there's nothing impossible for him. And, you know, I've seen story after story and experience after experience of people who have just rested upon him, and their lives are just transformed. We've got this couple in our church, the grandparents of this little girl that died. And, you know, sometimes you would think that the fact that she's gone, a four-year-old dying from an illness in her life, and for no other reason than she just got an ear infection and it spread to her brain and she died. And you see these grandparents that just don't know how to figure it all out, but yet they're so in love with Jesus that they just fix on him and their lives are being transformed. And it's like their faith has got stronger, not weaker. And it sort of goes beyond belief sometimes because it's like you can't figure it out. But it's that thing that goes beyond all understanding. And you just kind of get to this place where you're like, whatever happens, I trust you. I know that in the long run, things are going to work out. It's going to come together for you. And that's the awesome thing about God. He is working on your side for you to come through something or overcome something. He is not working against it. The thing we have to understand is that he hasn't brought you this far to make you a failure. God hasn't got you saved, got you freedom, got you, you know, set free from whatever was going on in your world or healed something in your life, only to bring you to this point so that now you would fall over and fail. That's not in his plan. That's not him. He's a God that's going to take you the full distance. And we will stumble and we will fall and we will make mistakes. And you know what I love about God? He's not the God of the second chance. He's the God of another chance. And that's what I love about him, because he'll always show up. He'll always help you up again. He'll always help us to get back on our feet and move forward. And that's the awesome thing about God. And if there's no other reason to love him than just for that, then how awesome is that? He's just the example of a great father. Wow, such a privilege to be here this morning and be with you guys. And I just love coming out the Bathurst, like I said before. And I got the email that you are in a series on the Bible, the Word of God. And I heard you had a fantastic time last week. It's Colin, right? Yeah, preaching an awesome message. And it was inspiring and motivating to get in the Word. So this morning I wanted to share, my title is The Word. I think last week was The Bible, was that right? Or something like that. Anyway, let's say it was the Bible. It was definitely not the Reader's Digest, was it? And so this morning I want to talk to you about the Word of God. The scripture that is key here is, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I love the Word of God. It's an amazing, amazing experience. I don't like to call it a book because a book implies to me that it's just something that somebody has written that is a good story and got good information. But the key to this book, if you like, if that for want of a better word, is not so much that it's a great story, but the nuggets of gold that are within it. The beautiful thing about the Word of God is, one, it is a weapon that when we learn to use it properly, we overcome and break down strongholds. And we can do what 2 Corinthians says when it says that we will demolish arguments in every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we will take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That it has, that the one unique thing about this Bible, about the Bible, is that it's living. It's not a Reader's Digest. It's not a Woman's Day. It's not a dictionary. I was just yesterday talking to my son, and he said, we were talking about reading books, and he says, I don't like reading the dictionary. It's boring. Isn't that interesting? Because I've heard people say that about the Bible. Don't like reading the Bible because it's boring. And as soon as I hear that, I feel in my heart, well, you don't understand how to read the Bible because you're reading the Bible like a dictionary. And the one key to reading the Word of God is that you don't read it like a book, you read it as a conversation. This is a conversation with God. These are the very words of God in this book. And these words have the potential of transformation for our life. The one unique thing about the Bible is it's the only book that speaks back. I've never read another book that speaks back to me. I've never read another book that captures my attention in one verse or can be one word and bring so much change into my life that it's unbelievable. And so when I read the Bible, I know Pastor Phil says this. He says, read the word until it speaks to you. Then stop and think about what God said. Because the understanding of the Bible is that the written word is the Logos word, the written word of God. But then we read the Logos, the written word of God, to retrieve the Rhema word of God, which is a revealed word. It's the voice that is speaking out of that written word that transforms your life. It is the revealed word of God that carries freedom, breakthrough, deliverance, the whole. That word that God speaks is what's going to transform our life. But the only way we can get that revealed word is by reading the written word that God presented to us. And as we read it, who's ever read the Bible and all of a sudden something jumps off the page? Yeah? Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like I've had scriptures that I've read 100,000 times, just over and over and over again. And then one day I'm just early sitting with a coffee in the morning, thinking, oh yeah, this is great, what a beautiful day, reading the Bible, and bang, something hits me and I can't stop thinking about it. See, sometimes what I think happens is we read and we keep on reading. And something does jump off the page, but we just go, oh, that's nice. And then we keep on reading. God, speak to me this morning. God, speak to me this morning. Oh, no, God hasn't spoken yet. Yes, he has. He just missed it. And if we will just backtrack to that place where he spoke, then things will change. So for me, I have a thing called life scriptures. Life scriptures. I'm just going to take a water. I have life scriptures that I live out of. So basically my belief is that the Bible has you in it. There's scriptures that are your identity. They are who you are, who God has created you to be. And they're the scriptures that we must discover. They're the nuggets of gold. Because it's within those scriptures lies who we are, the authority that is ours, and our ability to wield our sword. So part of my story is that I, over the years, have struggled with depression in my life. I've had bouts of depression that have basically nearly crippled me, and I haven't been able to get out of bed in the morning. Crying. I don't cry, but when it hit me. I mean, I was just a mess. I was totally broken, and it was so heavy. I don't know if not everyone experiences that. Some of us maybe do, others haven't. But you would be struggling with something. Every one of us goes through something in life, and if you haven't, just wait. It'll happen. Why? Because it's life. And sometimes we go, oh, it's the devil. No, it's not the devil. It's just life happens. And sometimes we have to learn how to negotiate and deal with that. I know with the depression, I don't really blame the devil for that. I don't like to acknowledge him as much as others maybe do. I don't like to give him credit all the time. I believe it was a part of it. A lot of it was to do with some total decisions I made over my life that had led me in a direction where I found no hope. And so when there is an absence of hope, what is there? There's hopelessness. And so that took over and started to deal. And then the enemy got involved. And see, I hear people say things like, man, we have helpful statements. We have statements as Christians that sound great but are not helpful. One of those statements I've heard is, when it comes to depression, you can't medicate a demon. And I was thinking about that and I thought, yeah, you can't medicate a demon, but you can medicate depression. And why? Because depression, I think we go after a deliverance situation. And sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but I'm saying sometimes it's not a deliverance that you need, it's a healing. And we must learn to discern between the differences, because I'm not saying that people can't be demonically influenced, but generally it's like not that. It can completely be a healing situation, and because the chemicals in your mind are going chaotic and they are causing disruption in your thought patterns, your life, and you can't think, you can't sleep, and what the medication does is bring you levels so that you can deal with things. And so that's the experience I had. And I said to God, Lord, I want to know that I am not demonically influenced here. And there's a guy in New Zealand named Mike Connell. You've ever heard of Mike Connell? He's one of the leading forefront guys in the world when it comes to deliverance ministry and dealing with things like that. And I remember praying to God and saying, God, let me sit with Mike Connell. Never met him in my life, never had a clue how I would ever meet him. I said, let me sit with this man of God. I want to know without doubt whether I have some kind of spiritual thing going on here or not. And I remember about 6 months later, I went to this conference of a friend of mine in his church, and Mike Connell was the keynote speaker. And at the end, he says, hey, listen, if you're a pastor here, Mike would love to meet you and spend some time with you. And I got an hour with this guy. I don't even know how it happened, but obviously God, I had an hour with him. And one of my first questions is, Mike, am I demonized? Do I have a spiritual issue here? And we started chatting. At the end of the conversation, he goes, listen, I don't think it's spiritual. He goes, I think it's a healing issue. It's not a spiritual issue. And it confirmed in me that the devil's not under every stone. He's not under every situation in your life. He's not causing every problem. And he lies the illusion that he is. And we blame him a lot. But sometimes the sum total of what's going on in our life is the fact that outworking of our decision. And look, right or wrong, it's like, don't beat yourself up about it. Just you're one good decision away from changing your life again. It's one decision can change everything. And that's what I love about God. So I remember God leading me on this journey and showing me these life scriptures in Romans 1 verse 1. Paul says, Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart to do the gospel of God. So I just take Paul's name out and I put mine in there. It sounds better. And it's like David, and then Jeremiah 1:5, before I was formed in my mother's womb, you knew me. Before I was born, you appointed me to be a prophet. And so these are the two scriptures. I mean, no matter what I face, they're the words that describe who I am in Christ. When the devil, I find the devil comes in moments of accusation. He comes in moments of like attacking your identity. So he gets you to question whether you really are who you think you are in Christ. So when I went through depression, the demonic part of that depression for me was not so much the depression itself, but the thought life that came with it. And so I would struggle with thoughts of self-harm. I would struggle with thoughts of hurting other people. I'd struggle with thoughts of all sorts of crazy, never thought of this stuff before, but there it was. And it was the voice of the enemy trying to get in. And I remember just going, how am I going to deal with this? How can I stop this? Like, I'm a pastor. This is not on, right? Like, pastors don't go through this stuff. Well, actually, we do. And we're just like everybody else. And then God spoke these words to me many years ago. And he gave me these scriptures. And he taught me how to draw out of these scriptures the revelation that I needed to transform what was going on, to take those thoughts captive. Because you may not have depression. You might just be worrying. And the reality is, worry is a form of meditation. The Bible talks about meditating on the Word, like replacing one thing with the Word of God and thinking on that and allowing that. And what I want to talk about today, I've got about 10 minutes and we're going to get through this, just over, all right, is how God used those scriptures, what he showed me on how revelation transforms our life, the process that takes. Because we understand that the Bible's living. So it's a living organism. It's a living thing. The Bible says that the Bible is Jesus. The Word became flesh and lived among us. He was the Son of God. It was Christ that came in the flesh, but the Word of God is Him. So when we read the Word, we're reading Jesus. We're literally encountering Jesus, because that is who He is. And everything the Word says is Him. And that's why it carries power. Why? Because His name is the name above every other name. And the Bible says that every knee will bow on the earth, above the earth, below the earth. Every devil will bow his knee. That means every sickness should bow its knee to the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. So when we read the Word, that's who He is. So could I get the whiteboard? Is that okay? I'm going to try and do this as quick as possible. But I want to talk a little bit about the transforming Word, the transforming Word. This is good. So God showed me how this will change my life. And this was not an instant thing. So sometimes I think we come to God and we go, hey, I want an instant transformation. And we believe for the miracle. We believe for the miracle. But I believe as Christians, we don't really have to always live for the miracle. And sometimes if we get the miracle, it's not that it happens instantly like that. Sometimes it sort of, you have an encounter with God. There's a promise that is given. And then it takes time to work out as you pursue it and apply it to your life. And so God said to me, this is the process. This is what He showed me on how to get my life transformed. I'll get it. It's there. There we go. So the first thing He said to me was this, is that you must first hear the Word, right? So I'm just going to be like a school teacher. I never do this. Hear the Word. Forgive my spelling. They knew I was not an educated man, but I had been with Jesus. So the Bible in Matthew 11:15 says, whoever has ears, let them hear. So we must hear what God is trying to say to us. There's two ways the Word can come into your life, basically. It's you either hear it or you see it, or you read it. So you're either listening to something, like it could be preaching, it could be the Bible on tape, it could be in worship, but we're hearing the Word. It's something that is based, the Word of God has been spoken, I hear it, so it gets in. The only other way that can happen is through your eyes. You see the Word, you read the Word, and it comes in. So one of the things God said to me, and this is why it's so important to read the Word of God, and not just read it in your mind, but to read it out loud, is that because, I haven't not around where I can hear the Word. No, you can always hear the Word if you're willing to read it out loud. You're hearing the Word, and that's the first step to transformation, is to get the Word off the page and inside of you. So we have to get the Word in to our brain. It starts in our brain. So the first thing is to hear the Word. The second thing is to think it. So what do I mean by that? What do I mean by thinking? So this is where Joshua has a great scripture that says, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, and that you may be careful to do everything in it so you live a prosperous and successful life. So we're talking about meditation. Now, this is not Eastern religion meditation. Most of us would know this. You don't empty your mind and kind of, I was just watching a movie last night with Eddie Murphy called 1,000 Words. Has anyone ever seen that movie? And it's like he has 1,000 words left, and every time he speaks, a leaf falls off the tree, and he's one step closer to dying. And so he starts to become very selective with the words that he speaks, because it's like, like everyone matters. And so where was I going with that? Who knows? But meditating on the Word is not emptying your mind. That's where I was going. He had this spiritual leader, total opposite. What I'm saying this morning won't be helpful for anyone, but it's filling your mind with the scripture, which I'm talking, coming back to the Rhema word, the revealed Word of God. As you've read the Bible, something jumps off the page. What you do then is, because you've heard the Word, then you need to start to think about it, which the thinking is not just think, it's about meditation. It's about, the imagery is of a cow that when it eats its food, right, it eats it, then it brings it up again, and then it eats it again, and it brings it up again, and then it brings, and it chews the cud. It's like chewing on something. This is what I'm, this is the kind of meditation we're talking about, is that you start to think about that Word that God has brought out of the scripture, that it's something about that Word. The reason you saw it, the reason it jumped off the page, is because it has something for you. But it doesn't always just come to you instantly. It takes time and you start to think about the word. The next thing we have to do is we have to believe. All right, so to believe the word is this. It's to get from your head. Here, if we drew a head, this is my scary head. Look at the smile. Here we go. Look, shoulders. There's a big heart right here. And there's ears. This is a weird looking dude, but he's from Penrith, so that's all right. We're all strange out there. Oh, we better give him a nose. So we hear the word. All right, it comes in there and there. It's up here in our heads. We're thinking about it. We're meditating. What we have to do is get it from here to here. This is the place of thinking. This is the place of believing. Is this helpful this morning? Is this going to help you? This is how you get transformation in your life. It doesn't just fall out of heaven all the time. Sometimes it does. When you're a new Christian, everything just seems to work like gold. You're just like, man, you can walk with, you've got like a strut in your step because everything you touch turns to gold. But there is a time that comes, that's called the honeymoon period. It's like when you're married, everything's amazing in the first 12 months. Then she realizes who you are and then it's all over. And she goes to work on you to transform your life because you are not quite just right, my friend. But that's okay because what God wants to do is get it in you so he can get it down here. Because this is the seed of believing in your life, okay? The Bible tells us to guard our heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. Everything comes out of here. Whatever you believe in here, some of us have had words spoken over us as children, and it's got to here, and now we have a thinking about ourselves that is incorrect. Because we don't believe in ourselves. We don't think we'll ever amount to anything. Why? Because somebody once said to you, you are nothing. You will never be anything. You will only ever be what you are today. You will never do anything great. And it's got in here, in your heart, and then it's out of that place you've started to believe certain things about yourself. That was my problem. And I still today use this process to battle those thoughts that try to overcome and overrun me because I've still got things in there. God, search my heart, David said. Oh, Lord, see if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's anything in there, Lord, that's not of you. And lead me out of that place. Lead me to the place of everlasting. Go to that place of Lord, lead me there. But it's going to be a journey. It's going to be a process. So we get it to our heart. So this is the battle is here. The battle is believing. Right? The Bible says that if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. The battle's always in our ability to believe what God has said about us is true. And because the problem becomes is because we live out of here, is God is trying to transform here. But it takes time to get out the things that shouldn't be in the heart, the things that we believe about ourselves and our situation, about what we're looking at. And this is why they say, you know, people that are dying and people that are maybe got cancer and it's sort of touch and go, or they've got a disease, it's touch and go. And they say the ones that give up, the ones that stop believing, they die quite quickly. But the ones that have hope in their heart and start to believe that maybe they can get through it, and they just have some belief inside of them and some faith that they're going to overcome. And a lot of them get a miracle and overcome. Why? Because their ability to believe despite their circumstances. And so sometimes to get the transformation, we have to be stronger in our heart about what we believe about ourselves or God says to ourselves, because the word is our identity. It's who we are, what we do, what we're called to, what we're here for. It's the purpose for our life, because God didn't just save you for no reason. He saved you for a purpose. There's a reason behind why you're here. There's a reason behind why you've been born. We did not originate out of the slimy mud as a fish that grew legs. And, you know, the Darwinism's great to teach in schools, I guess, but it's not true. It's got no truth to it. Even Darwin himself said that there's all holes in that teaching, that it takes more faith to believe what he actually taught than what, you know. So look, you could get into a whole thing there, but we're not going to, but because that's not what I'm talking about today. But it's the word getting in here to here so that it can start to transform back up here, not the eyeball, in the brain. And so then it goes from believing. So once it gets here, you want to get it to here, which is your mouth, so it can get out here. You have to start speaking the word. So first we have to hear the word, then we think about the word. We meditate on the word. It's a process. Once we meditate on it, it goes from our heads to our hearts, the place of believing. Once we believe it, what happens is we start to speak it naturally. It just starts to come out of us. Why? Because we start to believe that, you know what? that financial situation, I got the breakthrough. You always get the breakthrough before you get the breakthrough. Why? Because your language starts to change. What if you truly believe something, you'll just start speaking it, start speaking. And it'll just be oozing out of you. And people will be like, what is it with this guy? He has so much faith. He just believes. Look at the situation they're in. It's so terrible, but they just believe all the time. And that's where you want to get to. Because once you can speak it out, then you can live it out. And that's the final thing, is to live your life according to the Word of God and not our circumstances. But sometimes it can be hard, one, because we can't locate God in our life. So, you know, that was why I basically did a little practice with us this morning on how to locate God in your world. Because you want to be able to find Him. But sometimes, and then it's about locating Jesus in the Word. What is He saying to you about your life? So we need to have these life scriptures, these words that describe who we are, so that when we walk into a battle, we walk into a storm, a battle, we have our sword in our hand and we know how to use it. And when you can wield the sword of God, the Word of God, correctly, you will break down strongholds, you will overcome struggles, and you will find your freedom. But God took me through this journey, and that is one messed up dude, I know that. But if he practices, we could just call him like Fred or something. There's no Freds here, right? That's all right. We'll call him Fred. And if Fred practices, he will work all this mess out and he'll look a lot better. And but taking the Word of God is imperative, and learning how to use the Word of God to find those key things that are going to transform your situation. I know people say, oh, I'm standing on the Word of God. I like to have an imagery of I'm holding it in my hand. And I'm wielding my sword. It's living. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates between, you know, the soul and the spirit, the bone. And it gets into the innermost part of me. Now, Jesus' whole purpose is to get in us. You know, when he met the woman at the well in the book of John, and, you know, she was an adulteress. She had had many husbands. And Jesus was talking to her. She gives her life to Christ at the end of their conversation. You know, she receives Christ. She runs back to the city. She's on fire for Jesus all of a sudden. Her life was a mess. Jesus had a moment with her. There was a conversation that led her to this place of freedom and liberty in her world. She found transformation. She goes back to the city, and the first thing she says to everyone in that city, which she also brings everyone from the city to Christ, and says, come and meet this guy. And in the Message version, it says this, who knows me inside and out. Who knows me inside and out. Of course, that thinking is it, God gets it in you to get it through you and out of you. So transformation doesn't happen from the outside in, but it happens from the inside out. So when she met Christ, she verbalizes this thing that he knew me in here. Something took place inside of her heart that shifted her believing. And who knows that she was carrying some beliefs about herself that were terrible. Completely terrible thoughts. She didn't believe. She was in the middle of the day at a well. Why? Because she was shunned by the city. She was like the harlot of the town. People didn't want to associate with her. That's why she was at a well in the middle of the day getting water. It wasn't just because she was thirsty. It was the only time of the day she could go where she wasn't ridiculed, where she wasn't treated poorly, where she wasn't criticized. So she would go out there and get her water then, and then Jesus shows up in the middle of the day. Right in the middle, like, and talks to a Samaritan woman. It's all just like blows your mind if you understand the whole context of that situation. That, you know, Jesus should never have been talking to her, because tradition said that Jews and Samaritans never got on. They were against one another. They despised each other. The Jews would walk around Samaria a longer pathway because they would want to avoid that connection. But Jesus knows her inside and out. Jesus knows us. He wants to get inside and start to drive out the thing that we need freedom from. But it's about getting him in. The way you get him in is through the Word. You'll let the Word in your heart and allow it to work out of you the things that are not of God in you. It's simply that. The last thing is this, the Word of God is a person. I had the music team come, if that's okay. The Word of God is a person. We might just want to push this across. It's a person. The person's name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that that in the beginning was the Word, right? John 1:1, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Interesting, the Word was with God, Word was God, Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God, is God. And so, and then John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. But Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the Word of God. To encounter the Word of God is to encounter Jesus Christ. If you only ever read the Word as a book, you're never going to really encounter what God wants you to encounter in that.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to connect personally if you're in town. We meet on Sundays at 217 Howick Street for a 10:30 service. Or visit our website, c3churchbathurst.org.